You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Pigskin fans, the moment you have been waiting for all season is right around the corner, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now, enter the free prediction challenge, answer questions like, who will score last? And boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. Call to action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code THPN now and enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Oh, harder, baby.
Episode 15 of Stick and Rink Podcast. We are here. We are back. It's Tuesday night. Tuesday, January 26th, we record. It's Tuesday. It's Thursday, January 28th when you're listening to this. So thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for time traveling back with us to Tuesday. We've got three lovely gentlemen here ready to take you on a ride. First, I'll introduce you to Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Doing good, boys. Episode 15, Canucks are back in the win column. Things are looking nice here in YVR. Raffy, how you doing, pal?
Super good. Out here living the dream. A little tired, a little on edge, but we're good to go.
Fuck yeah.
Hey, you know what? Fuck yeah, because I couldn't tell. Genuinely couldn't tell going into this episode.
What? That I was on edge?
Yeah. Or that you were tired. Usually it's very obvious.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, I think the reason why I don't seem as tired is because I'm on edge. I spent all day playing horror games, and now it's finally dark outside, and I'm kind of afraid of the dark, so it's just it's all bad. Yeah. And as you can see, everything here is just pitch black, so yeah. it's not a good look right now. I'm kind of scared.
It's a cruel reality where your edginess makes you more tired, and then you're tired, but it keeps you awake.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's a vicious circle.
Yeah, it fucking sucks. I went to go do laundry earlier, and I was throwing stuff into my laundry machine, and it's just every noise and every creak in my house is freaking me out. So
but, at least you're at home alone. At least there's other people there.
They're all asleep. It's still frightening.
Yeah. Well, if anyone breaks in, your little sister's there to help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll use her as a baseball bat or something. I'll just grab her by the ankles and swing her around.
Just like a water noodle at the pool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Josh, buddy, how you doing?
Huh?
How you doing?
Dude, you already fucking asked
me. I know.
You did already ask him.
You didn't say much.
Ledger, you stoned?
I'm on the back nine of it. Dude, I'm on whole 16 of the stonage.
Okay, so you're coming
down. So you're burnt out.
So I feel like I'm operating at 101%, but I still get the tinglies in my fingers and my face.
Elijah, I think the better question is, how are you?
I'm fucking great, dude. My body feels fantastic right now. It's not high, but it's like, it's relaxed. It's feeling good.
I feel like you're about to green out on us here.
Now, did you smoke your like actual weed, or did you smoke your CBD weed?
I only have my CBD weed, but it does.
Oh, you're not even stoned then.
No. Okay. Come on, dude. It has THC in it, and I have a very low tolerance. This is like being a cheap drunk, dude. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm out here. I took two puffs. They were two very deep puffs. I coughed and I got high. I don't care.
And what'd you do with the rest of the joint?
I this one joint, it's a pack of three.
Yeah.
And the first one has lasted me four rounds so far of like just taking like one or two puffs and putting it out.
Like, good for you.
I feel like a guy who's trying to quit cigarettes, and he's like, all right, I'll just have half of one, but he's for some reason saved up the rest of it too. Right.
I was reading this really interesting article one time about this guy, and it was talking about like his last cigarette that he'll ever have. And basically what it is, like, he bought a pack of smokes, he smoked his pack of smokes, and then he had the last cigarette. And all he would do is he'd put it in his lips and he'd just never light it. And he had this cigarette apparently for like years, and it was his last cigarette. And he wouldn't even light it. He just like always put it in his mouth every time he had a craving, and he'd just go on with his day. Curb his habit of like trying to like smoke or inhale something. And I guess he'd like maybe sit there and inhale it every now and again.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not burning. You know what I mean?
That's genius.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Yeah.
That's smart. Someone out there like who first did the cold turkey, or like one of the first people that did the cold turkey and decided to name it cold turkey, was the one that was actually the innovator, because everyone else was just like, I'm fucking crazy, I'm just going to do it. And this guy's, no, it's called cold turkey. And then everyone thinks it's like a strategy. And you're like, no, you're just like, you don't have a plan. You're just going balls to the wall.
I've always wondered where that saying comes from. Cold turkey. Give that cold turkey. What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't even know. My first instinct is that cold turkey is pretty damn good.
I was going to say, I'm like, when I think of cold turkey, I think of like 9 a.m. walking to the fridge after Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner. And you're like, fuck, I could go for a turkey sandwich.
You know what? Maybe cold turkey is kind of fucking dry, isn't it? If you grab some white meat, it can be pretty dry.
Oh, dude, it's like you're munching on drywall and dental floss at the same time.
Yeah. Kind of like you're chewing tobacco at that point.
Yeah, there you go.
So just some thoughts that I'm having about tonight. Tuesday, the 26th. I know it's Thursday that you guys listen. We'll get into that later. But Tuesday just reminds me, I was thinking this when I was introing, it reminds me of hot lunch from school. Tuesday was always a hot lunch day. So right now I'm like, last 20 minutes I've been fiending for a mama burger or a buddy burger.
There you go.
Are you going through withdrawals?
Kind of, yeah. I should put a like a toy burger in my mouth for the rest of the podcast.
You should quit cold turkey. I quickly looked up where cold turkey came from.
Okay.
Can you enlighten us?
Yeah. One suggested origin is that the phrase comes from the similarities between a drug addict in the throes of withdrawal and a turkey's carcass. Both can be clammy, pale, and covered in goosebumps, which might have led someone to point out that a user who suddenly quit looked cold turkey. Which is interesting. It makes sense.
So next time Elijah's hungover, I'm just going to say you look like a cold turkey.
Boom, done. Nailed it. Yeah.
Let's just start throwing like descriptive words in front of animals, and we'll just call that's a descriptive word for now on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Josh looks like a dead horse.
Yeah. Thoroughbred, though, at least.
You fucking watch what you say.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm having a good feeling, boys. It's a good time. We should dive into this first. Obviously, it's Thursday when you guys listen, so that means it's January 28th. It's Bell Let's Talk Day. It's a great initiative. It's not exactly a day for celebrating, but it's definitely a day for awareness and discussing is my biggest takeaway. It's about discussion and having open forums for discussion. We are a hockey podcast, and so definitely some time to reflect on some big pieces that we've lost in life, just not only hockey players, but amazing humans and Rick Rippon, guys like Wade Bielak and Derek Bugard. Not to mention unfortunately, there's a long list of hockey players out there and athletes in general that have dealt with crazy things that I think spark is a big reason why this day is kind of sparked. So any initial thoughts that you guys have on kind of Bella's talk and any impact it's had on you?
I mean, I think it's always like kind of a solemn day, I would say. It's, you know, do I know people that have taken their own life? No. But I'm friends of people who obviously know people who have. And, you know, suicide is just always like, it's always such a crazy phenomenon to me, because it's always like one of those things where it always comes across as like the people that you would never expect. And I think it's just kind of like that time of reflection that the biggest saying to me, and like, it's not even just about suicide, but just in general, is like, it's okay not to be okay. And when I see like statistics and about even like comparing males to females, like, I think, I don't know the exact number, but guys are more prone to, you know, have depression and, that sort of thing. And, you know, have kind of that mental illness. So, I mean, being a male, it's always kind of, I guess, like in the back of your head, and you're like, shit, like, that's scary. You know, like, we have a group of what, how many guy friends, 8 or 9? Like, it's weird to think that statistically, like, I don't know, again, like I said, don't know the numbers, but I'll just say like 2 or 3, like, could be dealing with severe depression. Like, that's something to obviously like make note of, because it happened. Mm-hmm. It affects everybody.
Yeah. Raph, any thoughts?
No, I completely agree with Josh too. And it's like, the crazy thing that always blows me away is that I can guarantee that we've all had instances in our lives where it's like, we like feel sad or we feel bummed out, or just like, we feel like everything's going wrong and whatnot. And then again, it's like, you have these other people who obviously suffer from things like depression, and it's like, we'll never like understand that kind of feeling, because it'd just be so much more extreme, and it drives people to make decisions that they just feel like are the right decision regardless. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just crazy to, it's crazy to think that that's something so predominant in the world, but it's such a good cause that we have here, just trying to support all those people. And always, mm-hmm. it's always good to let those kinds of people know that you're always there in case they ever need somebody to speak to. And just even if they need somebody, just listen to them, regardless if you can kind of give advice or not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an amazing game. And you know what? Shout out, I'm a Rogers guy cell phone wise, but Bell's got my heart when it comes to initiatives like this, like big company move. Just echoing what you guys said, absolutely great day. And especially what Raph said, being a listener is one of the most important things you can do. And honestly, what I would say is kind of a short message for the people out there who have never dealt with any mental health things for themselves, because I used to be one of those people where I never used to think it was fake. Like, I never would ever say people were faking it, but I definitely never had the level of empathy towards it until I went through it. And it's not, I don't think that's the way it should be. Like, there's definitely a way to work towards it. But that's the thing, is I always remember me and a close friend would always say that we just don't understand how anyone going through that couldn't just like really focus for like a couple hours and just like have a plan, almost just like game plan for it, like a business or something like that. I don't know. And we used to sit there all the time and say that. And then when I went through my first experience with something similar to that, or just straight up dove into that, I remember that feeling of like, fuck, I have no idea what to do. Like, and that was day after day. That was like months in a row of thinking that. So I totally completely flipped my perspective of it. And I would say I'm better for it, but it was definitely a tough time. So that's my advice to anyone that is sitting here thinking like, oh, I've never gone through that. Like, I don't really understand it. I mean, all you can really do is just listen to people and trust that it's a lot of people are going to go through it in your life. And if you ever do go through it, you kind of want to be as prepared as you can. So just go out there and listen if you can.
And I think even like when you reflect on 2020, and like, it was a rough year for a lot of people, and, you know, it's not easy for some, you know, people losing jobs, people have just lost a lot of things, right? Like, people lost a lot of loved ones because of COVID, like, and that obviously triggers these feelings of depression and anxiety and, you know, just those certain kind of things that possibly, you know, lead to suicide. So, you know, I think this Bell Let's Talk Day is going to be, it should be a big one. I mean, and just like Elijah said at the very beginning, it's just a time of reflection. And being able to be there for others around us that maybe are going through something, and you know, again, just open your ears, listen, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And if any, I'll put this out, I don't want to speak for you guys in this instance, but I've always had this dream, this idea of having some sort of mental health episode. It doesn't have to be Stick and Rink affiliated, but I've always dreamt of having this kind of open discussion forum based thing of a podcast style, even just one episode, where if anyone ever wants to come on and talk about their experiences or share their story, I definitely reach out to me. I want to create something like that. So if anyone's out there thinking that, let me know. Other than that, I'm probably going to post some sort of clip of this, some sort of link. If even if it's in our episode link, I'll post some links to some mental health sites and just sources and resources as well. So you can put that to good use if you need to. But other than that, dude, we are going to get moving on here. We are going to jump into what is the fucking wagon called the Canucks on a one-game winning streak. We're officially back. Like, we were never gone. But in a lot of people's books, we were missing in action.
Yeah.
And we're, me and Josh and Raffle are not going to sit here and say we told you so. But, I mean, we kind of told you so.
Like, we kind of fucking told you so. You got a Philadelphia 76ers trust the fucking process when it comes to the Canucks, man.
Thank you.
Where do we want to start, man? I mean,
bring me in, dude. Bring me in. What happened this last game? Sum me up. You don't have to take too long. Give me the.
You want to know what fucking happened? 7-1 happened. How are you, Ottawa Senators? Mm-hmm. And it was a banger of a game, man. I loved it. Obviously, how can you not? I feel like a lot of guys got on the score sheet, which just kind of gets the monkeys off the back, right? You get some points, you kick the shit out of the team, you get some confidence back. I think that was the biggest thing for Vancouver and getting the depth guys going. That was the biggest thing for this game.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like every game we go into, every person out there is either betting on, tweeting about, or just talking to their friends about how Elias Pettersson is about to break out of his slump and him and Quinn Hughes and Brock Besser are going to score 15 goals each. And it's going to be the return of the king. But I mean, this kind of win where it seemed to be all Brandon Sutter, a little bit of Bo Horvat sprinkled on top and some other guys too.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better about this team than if EP won that game all by himself. You know what I mean? Like, hello, support players. That's what wins you fucking championships. So yes, absolutely. We'll welcome you with open arms.
Go ahead. I think the biggest thing that I noticed, and it's going to kind of touch on Rick Dhaliwal's point, was this is where you start to see these contracts for these veteran players that, you know, were they overpaid? Yeah, a little bit. But these are the games where you're like, okay, maybe this is what they provide, the leadership that, you know, sometimes they just get the boys going. And, you know, they contribute up and down the lineup on the second, third, fourth line. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, that's why these guys are here, you know, to contribute to a game, to get the guys out of a slump, get the big guns going. Are we hitting the panic button? No. And this was, I would say, a very important win for Vancouver. And I think a lot of that, I'm going to attribute that to the score. Like, if you barely, like, if you got outplayed and you won, like, 2-1 or something like that, and you got outshot and the power play didn't work and nothing fucking worked. But dude, like, when you're scoring at will, like, it's like, okay, we can still play. We can still play the fast paced Canucks hockey.
Do you guys think that this is a really big confidence booster of a game for the Canucks, especially just with like the score deficit that they had?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely what they needed over since like the past few games that we played, where we've just been getting outshot, outscored. Like, yeah, it was ridiculous.
I 100% agree. Like, it seemed like we could not score more than 3 goals in any of our previous games.
And it's also like to stop like 4+ goals at a time too against us. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. We had the worst goal differential and the most goals let in the entire league before that game.
And the biggest shot differential too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Montreal series alone, I think.
That one didn't. I didn't double check that one, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're dead last in that before that game.
Yeah.
They almost doubled our shots. It was disgusting.
Was it like 100-60?
I think it was 111-60 in three games.
Yeah, crazy. It was double us. Awful.
Great game. And to Raffle's point, some people are out there, and this is a reaction of a lot of people, and it's kind of a simple reaction, really, is to say that, oh, it's the Ottawa Senators, it's the worst team in the division. The 7-1 doesn't mean much. Well, no, it does mean much, because at the beginning of the season, everyone's equal. I don't care what the rosters are. Like, you see the Blackhawks have won 2 or 3 in a row now. And there's teams out there who are playing like the Avalanche are, I think, 4-3. In the beginning of the season, every team has to work just as hard to get that victory. Like I would totally agree. If it's one of the last games of the season where Ottawa kind of has that losing mentality in their locker room and it's just kind of that vibe, they're a last place team, okay, whatever, they rolled over. That's not the case in game 7 of the season for any team. And so the fact that if you want to put as much stock into Montreal, who's having a phenomenal start to the season, one of the best teams in the league, beating us 7-3, and you're going to say we shit the bed, well, then you kind of have to come back and say, yeah, we just shit on an Ottawa team that had a promising view going into this season with a ton of young players, and we shut them all down. So that's kind of my take on what Rhett was saying. The other thing I'm going to say is faceoffs. What's up, Jay Beagle winning 11 draws, 64% on the team. Let's go, baby.
Were you hyped on Beagle last season too?
I was, because he's a big faceoff guy. I always loved bringing on those oil country guys and just shoving that faceoff stat right down their throats, dude.
I love that. The other thing, and I watched the game highlights before we started recording tonight. Dude, Demko, man. Demko had a nice game. He made – those are the saves that you need to make to keep Vancouver going. I feel like this was, you know, again, good confidence booster for the Canucks offense, but this was a really good confidence booster for Demko. I thought he made some really good saves. The only goal he let in was, like, tipped, like, two or three times. It's basically a fly ball to center field, and it just, like, gets behind him and goes in the net. You know, he didn't let in any weak ones. Like, it wasn't a bad goal. It was just kind of a bounce, right? But he was fucking lights out after that. Because when did that goal happen? Was that first or second period?
That was first period. Second period. No, my
second
bad.
Second period. But, yeah, I mean, I think there were some really good saves that he made on the penalty kill when Vancouver was killing one. But, dude, fucking that third goal with Nils Höglander, dude, that kid's fucking fast. And that was some tremendous hustle to get that. I think he got it to, who was it? Was it Sutter that got the third goal?
I think he shoved it to Pearson, who, like,
it was Pearson.
Streaming down. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, fuck. It was nice to see him get on the scoreboard again. So, all in all, I mean, a solid game. And fucking Huggy Bear, Quinn Hughes, man. Good little forecheck. That's what we need from Quinny. And Yolevi, first NHL goal. Welcome to the fucking show. Right off the draw. That's me winning it back to Elijah in NHL, and he's just snapping the puck on net. Just over the pad, below the blocker. Thanks for fucking coming, Matt Murray. See you later.
And I just want to bring up Olli Juolevi's player profile picture. Like that, if anyone ever gets a chance, even if you're not a hockey fan, if you just want to go on and just search up his team photo from this year, that is literally the photo of someone who's had back surgeries. I don't know about surgery, back injuries, and just playing in the fucking A for a couple of years and like being a fourth or fucking early first round pick and bombing so far. That's his face, because he looks so sad, but kind of happy. Like he's got like a little tiny smirk.
Yeah, he's got like the just happy to be here type of thing. Like just happy I made the team, and hopefully Canuck fans don't fucking bury me.
He's like stashing away his per diem every time and just buying a bunch of Hostess fucking Twinkies. He's like, I might need this, dude.
I was going to ask you guys, do you think there is some sort of like benefit to teams that aren't doing well, knowing that like they're not getting booed by their own fans and shit? Like, there's got to be some benefit to that, right? Like,
I think so.
I think there's something there. I mean, like, what if Toronto like went into Montreal like at the Bell Center and just fucking killed them like 8-1? Like, if you're a Montreal player, if you're Carey Price, you're like, sick. Like, that feels so nice. Like, just like a quiet arena. Like, yeah, I got lit up like a fucking Christmas tree, but I'm not about to skate to the owner and pull a Patrick Waugh and ask to be traded to the Avalanche in 7 days after.
Yeah.
You know,
that definitely has to be a good feeling, especially for those teams who have those merciless fans like the Toronto Montreal guys, even Edmonton.
Yeah.
If they go through a 3-game losing streak and then absolutely get shelled, it's not going to feel the same. And Canucks are kind of the same way. I mean, we'll definitely turn on a team on social media. I think there are our in-person fans are actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Do you think all that negativity though kind of like fuels the fire, just gives them like a stick it to the man kind of energy?
I think if you're like a mature player, that definitely would, that would like fire you up. Whereas if you're a young guy, kind of like a bit of an ego, that would definitely, I think you might throw in the towel a little bit in the game.
Yeah.
Fair, yeah. Could go either way.
Like, could you imagine like Höglander like getting fucking booed? It's like, dude, like it's this kid's first year in the league. Like, give the guy a fucking break.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the good part about our team. I don't know if we would do, I would hope we wouldn't do that. We're not Flames fans, but
yeah. Okay. Let's pump the brakes there. We're not Habs fans. We're Carey Price.
Yeah. There we go. Giving it to the crowd, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else from that game there? Anything else that was going on? Why don't we, you know what? I did want to make one note, and there's just, I think this is kind of an obvious point, but I did want to talk about it, is that like overtime games, dude, they are going to be so huge this year. And I don't know if you, I always pay attention to the standings each year, not religiously, but I like to look every multiple times a quarter. And it's so funny to me. I remember when a team is like in the playoffs with less wins than another team, but way more overtime losses. I remember there was, I think Florida was the team one year who had like 13 or 14 overtime losses. And it just made a huge, they had like three less wins than a team, but 10 more overtime losses. And it made a huge difference. Now in a game, in a division like this, a season like this, I can only imagine coming down to the last week or the last 2 weeks, and you need to leapfrog one or two teams and they continue to lose, but they lose in overtime. Like that will just be a fucking pain. If there's ever 3-point games, like that's, and you think of it in the Montreal series, like, yeah, we split it 2-1, but we lost a game. We won a game in overtime. We gave them a fucking point.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about. So,
and I think the biggest thing is like normally, like when you give up to a point, like normally you wouldn't even give a shit. It's like, oh, it's Montreal. We gave them a point. Well, it doesn't fucking matter, because the only time you're actually going to face these guys, even if you face them in the playoffs, is going to be in the goddamn Stanley Cup final. Now it's like every point like really counts. Like, because you're just playing your division.
Yeah.
So
that's the time it hurts most, is when it happens in the division, and every game's in the division this year.
Because like, I think like when we come down to the wire, like what if there's a scenario where, you know, you're struggling and the team you're playing, I can't really do the math right now without like putting my head into a pretzel. It's like, but you have to beat this team straight up. Like they cannot, if you go into overtime, you give them a point, you cannot catch them anymore.
Yeah. I could totally see that. Mean? Yeah. If you're 1 point behind, that's what would happen.
Exactly. So I feel like we're going to start to see, especially this year in all divisions, are we not going to start to see kind of like NFL playoff alignment?
Where it's divisional first?
Like, where it's to the point where it's like, okay, if this team beats this team, because it's all divisional play for the entire season, it's going to shift. Like, the shit is going to come down to the wire if all divisions are tight and really separated by, like, 4 or 5 points. Yeah, you know, like, I feel like we're 100% going to see that this year, and I'm excited. Like, I feel like that makes, like, kind of like a pre-playoff. Instead of clinching and starting or sitting all of your star players, it's like, No. Like, you have to go full tilt for the full 56 until you've actually clinched.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. It should be a good one. Why don't we jump into a little, I wanted to know, this was a question I came up with, and it's kind of relating to this because this year is just so weird with the schedule. It's a question for all of us here. What is this year's most important intangible as a team is what I was looking for. If you have player ones, that's okay too, but I was mostly looking for an intangible quality that a team has. And do you have some on deck for me?
Yeah, well, originally I picked certain players.
I also picked certain people.
But
that's fine. Like you pick certain players or you pick certain qualities about or intangibles about a player?
No, like I picked like certain players that like have to do well, but I do have kind of like a team intangible.
Okay.
I would say
this is the number one team intangible according to Josh too.
Yeah.
So
this is the only team intangible according to Stick and Rink.
Yeah.
True. we're gonna give three of them too. So
I would just say
it's gonna change every minute and a half.
Yeah.
I would say leadership when you're losing.
Okay.
Like on losing streaks. I feel like that's a very big thing. Like, is, again, we don't know what goes on in the locker room. Nobody knows. The press doesn't know. We don't know. But can Bo Horvat, you know, rally the troops? Can Pettersson rally the troops? Can Hughes rally the troops?
It's crazy that you say that, because I was driving home from the mound the other day and I was listening to an interview with Bo Horvat, and he was talking about how like that's the one thing that he just kind of strives to do, is just make sure that he's kind of keeping that positive leadership going at all times, regardless of how the team's playing, just to kind of be a leader and lead by example, right? Just make sure that everyone's staying positive and just like pushing themselves as hard as they can. So I thought that's kind of like an interesting coincidence.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's kind of one thing that I look for. And he was one of my players, is like, look, if the Canucks aren't playing well, that's fine. But like, we have to remember, and we kind of saw this early on, when the Canucks are struggling, Bo Horvat is still putting up numbers. He's still leading by example. He's still keeping the Canucks at least somewhat confident and somewhat in the game. and whether or not he's able to maintain that down the stretch, I think is really going to dictate whether or not the Canucks make the playoffs.
Great. Fair. That's fucking ace that one.
Yeah.
Damn. Full nice grades. Raph, you got one for me?
I have an individual person.
Give me that. I'm down. I won't be hard on you.
My individual person is, I think the team is just straight up playing for fucking Finn's approval right now. They're all just picturing him just like walking through the stands, launching t-shirts at everybody right now. And they're just like, you know what? We got to do it for Finn. We got to keep going.
I think go ahead.
It's like how Philly has what's his nuts too.
Oh, Gritty. Wow.
Gritty. There you go. Yeah. They're playing for Gritty out there.
I love Gritty.
I think they have to petition to get him in the arena? I think they might have.
Yeah,
no, they did because he's allowed in. I forget what the fuck he did the other night, but he was someone on the Flyers got a hat trick, and Gritty had this big like cowboy hat, and he threw it onto the ice.
What a guy!
That's it was like awesome. I couldn't, if I was the opposing team, I'd probably be such a bad example because I would not be able to help but laugh. Like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah. I'm in the show, and I got this fucking goof throwing big hats on the ice.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a great example, though, Finn. Another one that we should mention, though, is I think Steven told me about this one time. It's Crazy P. He's one of the like super fans of the Canucks games. I think he might even work with the Canucks now in that capacity. He's like one of the guys that goes around with the Indigenous drum, and he just like hypes up everyone like in between whistles and whatnot. So playing for this dude.
Dude, we should even fucking throw Steven in there. He presses the play and the pause button for when the Canucks are practicing.
Did you see what's the fucking word? An article / interview with a guy who writes articles. I don't know what to call that right now.
Journalist.
But there was also like a little short clip and a short little segment about him before the game the other day too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was like 2 minutes long.
Awesome.
And I remember it was like seeing him pushing all the buttons and having his little setup, and all I could think of was fucking Sven Von Diepa, dude.
Sat there fucking DJing.
It's like fucking fist pumping on the sound booth. Like,
yeah.
Steven, we're at a 9 a.m. practice, calm down.
Dial it back a little bit, buddy.
Yeah.
That's sick. My intangible this year is going to be the creativity with team parties. Like somehow finding a way, I don't know if it's Zoom parties. I don't know if it's maybe the coach might have to find a way to let these guys get fucking crippled. And I, as a fan, don't hold me up. Don't hold a gun to my head when I say this. If I was a coach, I would probably try and plan some sort of big covert plan, underground party for the boys. I don't know how you'd do it. Literally break all the rules in the world right now.
Like an underground poker game, like Molly's game. And you just have Travis Green as the fucking dealer and shit.
Yeah, but every Canuck player ends up blackout by the end of it because they're like, this is the only, like, this is
pretty dude, good. They fucking 100% get blackout over Zoom calls. What are you talking about?
You think so?
They just get after it. I think so. I'm almost positive about it.
I think the biggest thing is, remember a couple seasons ago when Fortnite was obviously a really big thing and like they banned it?
Yeah.
Like, dude, like these guys are playing Call of Duty every night. Like the young guys, man, like they're so like, I think it's the way to like keep like the old guys. Like how is Joe Thornton staying in touch with the boys?
Yeah.
Like, they're all fucking young. He's like a 40-year-old man that's got a wife and kids. It's like, dude, like
he's got his fucking Motorola Razor, dude. He's holding it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I think that's gonna be a tough one. You know what? I was thinking of the example of like on the team bus, you know the example of a guy who cracks a beer and everyone looks around like, who the fuck just cracked a beer?
Yeah.
Like the Zoom call is the equivalent of that now. It's like if you'd have a team, you'd have like a full like 32 people in a Zoom call, the whole team in there, and you'd hear one guy crack a beer, you're like, whoa.
Here's the real question. If you're in that kind of position and you understand like a Zoom call is the boys getting after it, when you see you getting a Zoom call, what do you do first? Do you answer the call or do you grab the beer?
Oh shit. I think you answer the call.
I think you grab the beer first.
Answer the call.
Because if you answer the call and you have to go leave to grab a beer, then it's like, okay, cool, whatever, you answered the call. But if you like have a beer already there and then you answer the call, then that's like, that's the power move. Yeah.
That is true. You like, there's no room to embrace for what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Because you log on to the call and all the boys are like, oh, it's going to be that type of Zoom call.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there you go.
They invite Jake Virtanen and he doesn't even say hi. He's
shotgun. And he changes with some fucking spicy chicken, throwing it back.
Jesus.
Good kid. All right, Josh and Raph, what should we have some notes here for around the league talk. Can we do around the league talk a little bit before we jump into our next segments?
Sure.
Yes.
Did we now, before we do this, I wanted, did we talk about the Luke Dubois Line A trade at all?
No.
We
no,
didn't.
Not.
Eh? Did that happen? That's the way it got by us?
Yeah.
Was it Monday?
I don't know. I think it was Sunday, dude. I think we were just stupid and we didn't talk about it.
We are stupid.
Yeah.
No idea.
I think it did. But why don't we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well,
fucking happened on Saturday, guys. Jesus Christ.
Saturday.
Fuck's wrong with us?
Hey, good stuff, boys. Good stuff. Great podcast. Yeah.
I don't know what the listeners want, man. I mean, Elijah's fucking California dreaming with the $1,400 bet. Yeah. He's like fucking Jordan Belfort, like just like, I'm not fucking leaving when he's like at bet 365 on the app.
You know what? I'm California dreaming with a California Kush right now. Like, fuck, yeah. Look at him. Yeah, no, fucking laser, dude.
Should I smoke a little joint on the pod? Is that what I should do?
No,
if you do it, I'll do it.
You will?
Yeah.
We do.
I'll rip a dart, boys. I'll rip a dart.
Oh wait, let me find my doobies. One sec.
He's not gonna light that in here.
Yeah, Raffy.
Josh, there's no chance you light a fucking cigarette in your basement. Landlord's gonna come down and just beat your ass.
Yeah, fucking Sharon's gonna come down and give me the business, dude.
Yeah. Christ.
Oh my god. What was I gonna say? Well, I was gonna talk about the fucking NHL trade, but now that Elijah's went off in his weed stash, what's good with you, buddy?
Not a whole lot, dude. You know, just fucking hang. Oh, I got a haircut.
Let's see.
Hold on.
Show me. What do you mean you got a haircut? It looks the fucking look same, just like an inch how short it is. Oh it. Fuck!
Yeah, dude, I took off a lot.
Dude, you finally gave in to the peer pressure, eh?
What do you mean?
You finally listened to all the people telling you to cut it,
dude. I'm out here trying to get a girlfriend, dude. Leave me alone.
yeah, right, you and me both, buddy.
Yeah. We're keeping all this in. We're not cutting this.
No chance.
There's Seth Rogen from fucking.
All right, play your
from Pineapple Drive. Express.
Well, I should put your McDonald's drive-thru headset on. Yeah, there you go. Drop the lettuce. Come there you on. Go.
It's like a hog player with a helmet. Throw it back.
Oh my god!
Raph, do you have your doobies?
I have my pen.
Oh, it was such a bad idea. I almost choked on it.
My fucking dab pen, Jesus Christ.
Are you actually lighting that, E?
You're not going to light it.
Dude, Megan's giving me judgy eyes. I got to light it. I have to set the tone alone.
Set the tone alone. Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, our sponsors are not going to like this. He's coughing.
God, I didn't know that the Stick and Rink boys were such bitches, but here we are.
No, just Elijah. He'll be back. Josh, what's new with you, though, buddy? Let's continue this while Elijah's gone. This is kind of nice.
Dude,
very good.
I started using purple shampoo.
Oh, yeah, it's great, hey?
I had a friend recommend it to me.
I told you about this.
I know, I just didn't listen. But this guy actually brought me purple shampoo, and he's like, Josh, he's like dry shampoo.
Yeah.
Or he's like, put it in your hair, dry hair.
Yeah.
Let it sit for like 5-10 minutes. Go in the shower, rinse it off. Then condition your hair when it's wet. Let it sit for 5. So I did that for, I think, 2 days straight. And like,
who told you this? Sean?
Sean.
Yeah, Sean's good shit.
Yeah, Sean's dope. Maybe we should give him a little shout out on the podcast because he actually listens to our audio clip. So this might help everyone.
Give Sean a shout out right now. Do it.
Sean, buddy, I got a little self-conscious with the old 3-in-1 talk that we were having the other day. So I'm like, thanks for coming through, buddy. Your clutch is book.
Yeah. Sean doing wonders for Josh's hair. Josh's
dude,
frosted hair.
This guy is keeping the tips fucking frosted, and I love it.
He's doing it for the people. He's doing it for the homies.
He's doing it for the pod. That's all I have to say.
Who's that? Is that Sean?
Sean, the guy that gave me some purple shampoo.
Hey, Sean, we love you, dude. Thanks a lot.
There it is. All right.
Luke Dubois. Luke Dubé. Let's do it.
Okay. What are we thinking on this trade?
So here's what I need to hear. fuck the line about you can't decide a winner or a loser until a couple of years from now. Give me a winner or a loser, and it's that's signed, sealed, and that's fate right there. And then I don't know. How about this? How about then you give me your take on how the Jets line up against the Canucks now with Luke Doobie in the lineup?
Well, okay. I just want to confirm something. Dubois is a center, yes?
That's correct. 22-year-old center.
And then Line is a winger.
Correct. Amundo, right winger.
Is he a right winger or is he a right-handed shot left winger?
He's a right winger.
Okay. I mean, I don't really know who won this fucking trade. I mean, I was looking at Twitter, I was looking at Instagram and all these comments, and they're like, dude, like, who fucking won? Like, maybe, again, like, the teams are hard to say until they actually play a game, but in my opinion, no fucking player won, man. Dubois went from Ohio to fucking Winnipeg, and Liney went from Winnipeg to fucking Ohio.
Yeah. Dude,
that fucking sucks. Like, I think the biggest thing in this trade was, like, both of these guys just needed the change of scenery. Like, it's not, you know, bad for either team, I would say. But I mean, both players were unhappy in their markets. They got their wish and they were traded to like shitty cities. So, I mean, have fun. All the power to you. But I don't know. I mean, I would say that maybe Columbus is the winner because they got Josh Roslovic as well. Jack Roslovic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying Columbus for now from face value.
If face value, you're giving it to them. That's fair. Might be incorrect, but that's fair. I'm going to give some context here because, you know what? I was listening to Checklists early and I actually got information that I had no idea, which actually made the trade make a lot more sense. So some things for you. So Pierre-Luc Dubois' dad is an assistant coach for the Manitoba Moose, I believe it is. So he lives in Winnipeg or in Manitoba, where the fuck it is. I don't know.
Yep.
So his dad lives there. I don't know if there was any other connection. He might have spent some time there growing up. And then Line A has known the Columbus GM, Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Right. They're both fans.
The GM's known him since he was a kid. So they have that connection there. So that'll kind of help when Torts kind of tries to fist his asshole with just some like hardcore coaching. What else? And then what's his face? Jack Roslovic is from Ohio. So there's another connection. So I think literally each person is going to be happy going to another shitty city somehow.
Yeah.
But down with that.
I think the biggest thing, it was never really released as to why Dubois wanted to leave, was it?
No, it was people speculated, but there was never any concrete information that was confirmed.
And I think this goes to show like the amount of media coverage that you get from a Canadian market to an American market. Like, dude, like Liney's been under the fucking microscope since like a year and a half ago. Like, I think even beginning of the 2019-2020 season, like he had a great rookie year and he kind of hasn't really performed since. And like, obviously that wears on a player. Like he was the guy behind Austin Matthews. Like it was a debate as to who would have gotten drafted number one, Liney or Matthews. And, like, could you imagine if Liney got drafted by Toronto and performed this way, dude? That guy would have been fucking chilled, out, man.
That's tough.
So you think Winnipeg's bad. So, I mean, good for Liney. I mean, if he's not happy and he doesn't want to deal with the bullshit media that is a Canadian market team, then you got your fucking wish, man. Have fun in Columbus because, like, nothing's really down there. Like, Torts will cover you. With the sound bites. Like you don't need to have any yourself. So
yeah, Torts has you covered there.
And you know what? I like Pierre-Luc Dubois. I really like the guy. I think he went fourth overall in, I think it was like Ioleve's draft, I want to say.
I think he went third because I think Ioleve went fourth.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough look.
Right behind Liney.
Yeah, it's like the Matthew Tkachuk. Are they the same draft year?
Yeah. Yeah, Matthews, Liney, Dubois.
So yeah, I mean, has that either of them played a game? Because they would have to quarantine.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone's going through the 2-week quarantine right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that'll happen.
We'll see. But in terms of other around the league news, do you have anything else? I mean,
well, the last thing that I wanted to say about this trip, actually, I wanted to play a little game with you. I wanted to see, I want you to guess the overall rating for those two players, Line A and Dubois, in NHL 21? What's their overall rating?
Okay, so this would be, are these updated as of, like, because NHL, like, most updated NHL will usually update them on, what, like, a weekly basis?
Yeah, or, so,
am
yeah.
Am I going off of, like, the original release date, like, rating?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. Why don't we go with, we'll go with original release.
Okay. I'm going to say Dubois is an 87 or an 88.
Dubois, 87, 88, okay.
And I would say Line A is an 86 or an 87.
86, 87, okay. Okay, you're going to have to give me some time to find that. I don't know. I was fucking idiot Elijah, dude. I was going to try and guess it as well.
So wait, you don't have the answer?
No, I don't have the answer yet. I thought it would be so easy to find. It's not.
Well, what are your answers?
Yeah.
Tell us your answers while you're still looking for this.
Okay, well, what did you say? You said 87, Line A, 88, Dubois?
I would say like 87, 88, Dubois, 86, 87 for Line A.
Okay, I'm going 85, Line A. I'm going 89, Dubois.
Holy shit.
I know, I'm fucking wild like that, aren't I?
Dude, 89, like... player like 89, like that's like Pettersson level, which he was not.
Is it? Yeah, I'm going 89. Then I'm fucking confident in that one.
All right.
Ah, damn it! I found a top 50 list, and neither of them are in the top 50.
Yeah, no shit.
Fuckers. Motherfuckers.
Raph, you're gonna have to help us out here.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah, tech guy.
Okay, why don't we move on? Then we'll give him some time. He'll jump in.
Yeah.
Do you have any more around the league news? I mean, I was kind of tapped out for that right there.
I mean, fuck, Vegas is looking nice right now. Washington, good on Washington. Good start. It's not easy in that division.
It ain't easy being Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, it ain't easy with all the Russian cocoa addicts. So, and mm-hmm. I mean that in the cocaine or not COVID.
well, both these days.
But I still stand strong.
Liney plays on the Winnipeg Jets.
Correct, Amundo. Or you did.
87 overall.
Fuck. Let's go. Huge call.
Dubois is not on here. Just on the list I'm looking at.
He'll be on Columbus.
Yeah, it was just like a quick little list that just came out for me. I'll keep looking.
And so, like, is there a team out there right now? Oh,
Dubois is an 86 overall.
Motherfuck.
Wow.
I almost had them flip-flopped.
Yeah. Wow.
Interesting.
Good job, Elijah. You're a stud.
Good job, Josh. You're actually a stud.
Good job, Raph, for figuring out what the overall rankings are.
what are best producers for, hey?
Yeah, there you go.
No kidding, dude. No fucking kidding. You know what? I'm gonna do a little thing for you here. There's a lot of games going on tonight. I'm just gonna go through some score. I'm gonna pick one score on there. I'm gonna say it's gonna be the Buffalo Sabres and the New York Rangers. Now, let me tell you a little bit about these two teams. The New York Rangers, everyone is on their two knees. They're sucking their carrot off. Thinking that they're going to be fucking. I haven't heard a goddamn thing, so I'm assuming he's not doing too good.
Yeah.
Alexis Lafreniere, where you at, boy? 6 games played, no points. That sucks. Lafreniere, nope.
not I'm gonna for nothing, go- but I said he may have been a bust. I didn't trust him coming out of junior.
Really? You're a junior correspondent, too. That's a big take to have. On a team with what we got? We got Lafreniere, Kapokako. We got Artemi Panarin. Tons of guys, like tons of talent everywhere.
Good brand
tons
names.
Of talent. And we've got zero results. So, I mean, what I was saying earlier is everyone's fucking getting off to them at the beginning of the season. And people do that, man. People try and predict rebuilds so quickly.
Yeah.
And they just can't do it. Like, no one saw the Canucks coming. Suck on that one. But everyone wants to see the Rangers happen. It's not going to happen. Whereas Buffalo, the team that gets ragged on all the time, apparently all you need is a little Dylan Cousins in your life.
Dude, did you see Dylan Cousins' first goal? That was a fucking schnick.
Yes, I did. That's when I close my eyes and picture me playing Beer League, I see that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every game.
Let's go.
That's what I see it happening.
What's the reality like, though?
I probably won't even be able to balance on 1 foot. To I'm a 2 foot shot kind of guy. come on. Like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go ahead, and the hot take will come from this game, and it's going to be that Buffalo not only finishes above New York, but they will finish in the 5th seed in that division. So it's not the hottest take saying they'll make the playoffs, but they will finish above both the Rangers and one other good team. They're going to finish above the Rangers and one good team. So that's a good hot take by me.
Okay, I like that. There you go.
Spicy.
A good hot take from Elijah.
Well, guys, what should we do? Should we jump right into a little internal promo here? A little shout out from the friends?
Yeah, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, let's start over.
Handing it over to them. Give them the reins.
Calling all Jets fans and foodies. What's going on, guys? I'm Brandon Rewicki, the host of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. Look, if you love Jets hockey, this is the place for you. In-depth breakdowns from every game, a deep dive into the big plays and moments from Winnipeg's season, and all the Jets talk you will not find anywhere else. We got it for you on Skates and Plates. Plus, if you love carbs and everything tasty, we jump into the world of food as well. Once a week, we also speak with a member of the local culinary scene to highlight their great stories and the great food they put out. So there it is. Hockey, Jets, food, drink, everything good in life. It's right here on Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right. Thanks for listening to that, guys. We appreciate the people down at the Hockey Podcast Network. If I knew the schedule, I'd shout you out. And even so, I don't know the schedule, but I know you're some beautiful people. That's what I know about you.
Could you imagine if it was the Rangers podcast and we just shit on the Rangers? Tough luck.
That'd be fucking priceless. Can you imagine if it was us? Maybe we were supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Didn't even send in a promo or anything like that. Like,
now it's time to pump our tires.
Yeah.
Boys, we blew it. Let me tell you about that. We blew it. I think all right, whatever. So why don't one of you guys lead us into our world famous goats and moats segment? Bring us into this week's topic.
Well, then,
Josh, you want to do it?
Yeah, I got it. So, boys, Fires. This week, goats and moats is goats and moats of reality television. So, we have decided as a podcast, minus Raph, because he doesn't count.
Thank you.
He doesn't count, but the ghost that's over his left shoulder, I see that guy, he's nodding.
Yes.
Ghosts can't be seen through cameras and reflections, you dumbass.
So we have agreed that The Bachelor and Bachelorette is just the greatest show of all time. So we will not say that. So the only time that we've actually said this, a disclaimer, that is the greatest reality TV show, is only when we were discussing best Olympic sports, where we said hockey. So Bachelor, Bachelorette Nation, you have a lot to live up to when you're being thrown into a hockey category. So you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to start?
Can we also just explain how we have included game shows in these as well? Because we are considering game shows as being reality TV because they involve real people in real events.
Fact.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe we'll explain this at the end. I was going to say the difference between like a fucking trivial game show and just a game show, but go ahead. Let's start with Raph Daddy. Let the man of the house go first.
My number one reality TV show.
Yes, sir.
Of all time. I will watch the show. Like if I come across it, I will always throw it on because I think it's so interesting. It's fucking Man Tracker. If you guys have ever watched Man Tracker, I think it's so sick. It's just like this one person trying to navigate through a forest to like get to this point where they can escape and escape the Man Tracker or whatever. And it's like this person deemed the Man Tracker just like riding around on a horse, like following this person. It's actually so sick. And I think they get like, I think it's like a, they get like a 2 hour or 2 hour long head start or something like that on the Man Tracker. And they can take any path they want to get from point A to point B and like navigate wherever they are, however they want. But it's just like, it's so fun to watch just because I find it so entertaining, like what these people will actually try doing, just like throw off his tracking skills.
So
this guy gets off his horse and he like checks footprints and everything like that. Like it's some like military level shit. It's wild.
Yeah.
Should we, now we should have discussed this off air because this is a very, very spicy conversation, but
yeah.
Should we, after each one of our picks, should we say like out of 10, how likely is it that the majority of it is scripted?
Ooh.
Or will that just like dampen the mood and not?
That'll dampen the mood. Let's not do it. Yeah.
Let us
dream.
Let us dream. That is actually in fact
reality. Man Tracker 0%.
0%. All real, all the time.
I think the one thing I will say, and then we can move on, is about Man Tracker. Like, dude, could you imagine like you're being so stealthy, but you got like some fucking cameraman just like hauling ass and like just carrying like a 30-pound camera in like the trees? Like, dude, I feel like the Man Tracker just just sees like the fucking guy like trailing behind. He's like, oh, there they are.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
One of my favorite scenes is always like when a person like steps on like a branch or a twig, and then it's like this loud crack, and it's a hard cut to the man tracker, and he just like turns his head and looks in the general direction of where it came from. Yeah. He's just like hauling ass. It's so funny. I love
it. Dude, the one thing I will say is I think they've replaced the guy a couple times.
They switch it up sometimes, yeah. The original old guy that you think of comes back every now and again. At least from when I last watched it.
There's multiple man trackers?
Yeah.
Is there a woman tracker?
I don't know.
Or I guess
I believe there has been a woman who's done it.
Oh wow.
So yeah. the one thing I know about the original guy is he's actually from High River. He's actually from Alberta. He's a Canadian guy.
Oh really? No way.
Yeah.
Like the old like typical like a super silver hair and then just like the light beard and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure he's from High River. So my first goat is Pros versus Joes.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Just seeing like, I always loved like when they're like, okay, like we're going to bring on an NFL guy and we're going to throw footballs and he's going to hit you or you're going to have to run at him. And they just get absolutely buried. They're like, some of these guys are like, yeah, like I played fucking senior varsity, won a state championship. Like it's just like these douchey dads that just get absolutely worked. And I just think it's so funny. Or like they'll throw like one of the pros like into like a pool. I remember this one time they put like a old offensive lineman for like the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had to like race a Joe in like swimming laps, and like this offensive line dude was going so slow, like it was so funny. I was dying laughing, dude. I was dying. I love that. Yeah. It's not on anymore.
That's a good one.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, my first pick is a throwback pick, and it's Beauty and the Geek with Ashton Kutcher. Let's go. I don't even know if any of you guys even heard of that.
I've never heard of it.
This was during my like very emotionally vulnerable days of my life where like I was being molded into this very romantic, emotional person. And it was like right around the time where I discovered One Tree Hill. And I was just like, I had loves in my life everywhere. And then Beauty and the Geek came along and it showed me like, hey, even if you end up butt fuck ugly and just like into programming things, there's still a chance that like a little ditzy blonde might be into you if you get a little bit of money.
There you go.
It was quite a show. I loved it.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
All right.
My next one is, I don't know if you guys remember this show. It kind of goes more to like the game show side, but do you guys remember MXC?
Fuck, I have that written down.
Extreme Elimination Challenge. So it was like this like Japanese game show. It was so fucking funny. And it's just like, it was like Wipeout before Wipeout became a thing. And like some of the challenges that they would have to do were just like absolutely fucked up. And people would just get like clocked and annihilated like left, right, and center. And it was just like super over the top Japanese. So it was fucking hilarious. It used to be on Spike, I think, all the time.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel like some Spike reality TV shows or just like TV in general was just hectic. Like Spike TV was awesome.
Yeah,
like that was my childhood.
That's actually it's so fun,
dude. I still, if you ask me right now, I still don't understand. Was that an authentic Japanese show?
I think it was like a westernized Japanese show because they'd have like English dubs and everything like that too. For like, remember the host and everything like that. Yeah.
So like, was that entire show just like culture appropriating themselves? I'm so confused. Like they were making fun of their own culture so much, weren't they?
Yeah.
It's fucked. Like, that kind of reminds me of like the what is it? The like just movies and TV shows from like 08 to 2012 that say like some edgy things once in a while. You're like, oh, that like The Office, like that shit would not fly nowadays. So it's hilarious.
Essentially what it is an American comedy television program that aired on Spike, and it is a repurpose of the footage from the Japanese game show Takashi's Castle.
So it's the exact game show. It's just dubbed over.
Which is,
if we did that,
oh, it'd be awful. Oh, five seasons of it. That's so sick. Awesome.
Can we do that in our own time? Like, not for content. Can we just do that one time,
dude? Sure, absolutely.
I'm down.
Be hilarious.
Josh.
Okay, my next goat. I mean, dude, he is the goat of fucking hectic television on a Wednesday afternoon when you're taking a sick day in grade 8. Jerry Springer, baby.
That's a good
Jerry,
one.
Jerry fucking Springer, good man.
Choice, dude.
Everyone likes Maury. No, no, no. I love.
What about?
Like, I'm actually a male, and she's like, yeah, no shit. Like, dude, like I could tell in your voice. Like, how do you not know? Like, you're married to a dude. Like,
did you ever watch Steve Wilkos?
Oh no. Oh, yeah. Okay. So where Steve Wilkos actually derived from was he was a bodyguard.
That's right.
Like he was one of the hectic guys that like broke up the fights in Jerry Springer. Yeah. And he got his own show.
Yeah.
And like Steve Wilkos would actually like, it was a mix of like Maury and like Dr. Phil where like it would get so crazy where Steve Wilkos would just pick up a chair and like throw it.
Yeah. He was super explosive. It was fucking great.
Like I love those like Maury, Steve Wilkos, Jerry Springer. Like,
so funny to watch.
And I think the best part of it was like, all of those people on the show, guy and girl, they were all super ratchet. And you're like, where the fuck do you come from like middle America?
Yeah.
But then there was always like, you know, I cheated on you. I'm really sorry. And Jerry's like, well, she's here and let's bring her out. And like that. And like, and like the original couple, you're like, okay, like I can see this working. Like the girl's decently good looking. You're like the guy like seems nice. And then like you see like the guy or girl that comes out who they cheated on. It's always just,
you're like, what the fuck?
It's like you fell from the top of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way
down. Dude, do you remember those memes that also flew around about like the Jerry Springer camera guys? Where it's like whenever something would happen and somebody would run off, there'd just be like a Jerry Springer cameraman just like chasing them with the camera. And it's like not missing a step, like running downstairs, opening doorways and everything too, like bobbing and weaving. It was fucking nuts.
Oh my God.
Those are hilarious.
Those guys are actually like fucking track stars, man.
Yeah. It's on their resume.
Yeah, it's like what's it? Yeah, they like it's
sufficient running skills whilst holding a camera.
No, dude, it's like the fucking NFL combine.
They're
on the 40-yard dash with the camera attached.
Yeah, all the guys who didn't make it into the NFL just applied for Jerry.
Jerry is not Jerry.
Oh my God, dude. I actually cried.
That's so funny.
My pick. Okay, my next pick is trading spouses. Now I don't know who originally came up with this concept.
Fuck.
But like you have to be a pretty sadistic person to want to do that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where this idea comes from. You're like, you know what we're gonna do? This seems like a South Park episode. Someone come here with this joke. Like two people sitting there, like, hey, I got it. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna take his wife, and we're gonna switch. And it's wait, you mean they're gonna fuck? It's like, no. Everything but fuck. They're not even going to sleep in the same bed. But it's like everything else. Like he's going to come home and whine about dinner not being ready. And she's going to have whine about him like smelling like shit. All that stuff. Did you guys ever watch the show?
No, never. No. But I've heard about it. I know what it is.
What channel is it on? Because like I feel like
TLC.
There's a TLC thing.
TLC, man. As much as they try and be sophisticated, bro. Like they have some fucked up TV shows.
Yeah, shitty shows.
Like if you ever have like a TLC producer approach you, I would raise a red flag that you need to get your life in order.
Yeah. It usually means your life is fucked up enough that other people want to watch it.
Yeah.
That's usually what it means. But dude, on the show, they would usually the regular kind of thing they would throw in there is they would often throw in like a poorer family and a richer family. And like the rich snob would come in and be like, this is how you guys live. Like, really? It was fucked, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Right up there with it, though.
All right.
Rats and somehow that made it in my goat list. I don't know how, but that's a goat.
It's always a surprise when it makes it in there, hey?
Yeah.
My next one is Naked and Afraid.
Yeah, okay.
I think I remember that. Naked and Afraid?
I think I remember that.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
Dude, it's so sick. So it's kind of
like... sounds like me when I woke up on the roof.
There you go, right? That's basically what it is. They basically take two people, a man and a woman, and they put them into like some sort of wilderness kind of situation, and they have to survive for 30 days, I believe it is. And something like that. And then all they have is they can bring, I think it's one or two tools with them. I don't remember what it is. And it was crazy because like sometimes people will bring like really interesting things. Like some people bring like a compass, some people bring like a hatchet, like people will bring their own kind of tools, right? And I just remember watching this one episode, and there are these two people, and they were in the desert, or I guess I shouldn't really say desert, because some sort of like sandy kind of area. There wasn't a whole lot of shade or anything like that, right? And it was like this guy and this girl, and this guy was basically just like, I'm going to stay here, because he brought something that like could purify water for him. And he's like, I've got a little oasis here. I can just survive off this water. I'm just going to do that. And this girl's like, fuck no, fuck you, I'm going to go exploring. So she goes off and she explores and she's trying to like hunt and like survive for herself. And she lasted like 7 days, like maybe 10 days. And this guy, he is just like, he made like a small little overhang shelter to protect him from the sun. And he was like a bigger guy, you know what I mean? Like a chunkier guy. Mm-hmm. And he just like laid underneath this shelter for the full 30 days because his body was just like living off of his fat and everything like that, like his fat deposits.
Dude, it was like this guy hibernating, dude.
This guy played it so fucking well, and he lasted the entire time, no problem. The cool thing too that they do for everybody is like they'll like give them their background, like why they would survive in the wilderness and everything, and then they rate them on a 10-point scale. Oh, so like how well, like,
before you go in?
Yeah, like where you basically like the odds of you surviving like on a 10-point scale, right? Yeah. And then if you survive or like if you don't finish it, like sometimes they'll bring people back. They update their score. So like, say like you survive, your score will go up. Say you get fucked up and you have to like extract early, then your score will go down. It's really interesting.
Interesting. Okay.
Fat Boy Slim went from like a 6.6 to like a 9.9.
Yeah. Exactly. Good numbers. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like you should have seen him. Like he was like a big guy, and then he thinned out a lot.
Oh yeah.
Like throughout the entire thing, because his body was just living off fat. Yeah. It's gnarly.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. My last one. We're gonna go back to the TLC channel, boys.
Oh boy.
This is a Tuesday afternoon show when you're homesick from school. What not to wear. I hated that show. That was a show that me and my sister would watch days on end and just fucking judge people for. Like, it was just so, it was so comforting. You're like, God, you're like, you know, like you're a kid and you're like, yeah, I'm like, I don't really have style, but like you look at these people and like you have like, I forget his name, but he's like the gay guy and the girl, and like they go into their closet and they just start ripping shit out. Like,
yeah.
And then occasionally they hold it up to the camera and they're like, what the fuck is this? And like they throw it in the bin. And I think like the best thing is like they always like, they always make the person look so good. And like it always turns out like, and like, in like a good ending, but then they're like, okay, where is this person now? And they flash forward like 3 months, and like some of them like stayed the course, and like they're like, yeah, like, you know, I feel good, I feel great about myself, and some just like resort back to like their old shitty clothes. like that fucking sucks. Like what a complete waste of time. But
they do an exit interview and they're like, you know what, I just decided that I was actually pretty happy with my old raggedy clothes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate. Exactly. It's unfortunate, like The Biggest Loser, if any of you guys have that on your list, where it's like they check in with the people afterwards and it's like, yeah, no, I figured out ice cream is my one true passion. And you're like, fuck, damn.
Yeah.
Josh, can I ask you one question about this show?
Mm.
Did you watch it and then just take all their advice and choose not to listen to it?
Fuck, color patterns and whatnot.
Yeah,
did you just wake up and decide not to be ugly? Fuck.
Did fucking Raffle wake up today and choose violence? Is that what happened?
100%. 100%. I was really calm this morning, and then like halfway through the day, I was like, you know what? We're gonna change pace.
Time to throw some shade.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Josh hasn't bugged me today, but Josh is looking hella vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like a fish out of water.
There you go.
I don't know if you guys noticed, this is the part of the episode where I always like mute my mic for half a second, kick my chair back, and I stand up and I like do some weird stretches because my back just freezes up. So I wish the viewers could see this. It's really funny. I try and keep my head still while moving like every other part of my body.
Nobody needs to see this. My last note.
This is my top goat, even though I chose it third. I don't know why I left it, but it's Survivor. Like Survivor is the ultimate. Yep. People might call it a game show, but we've kind of said like any game show that lasts the whole season, it's not really just a game show.
Right.
Literally the greatest of all time. Like their slogan, outwit, outplay, outlast, that's legendary right there. And the outwit part is one of my favorite parts about any game.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the fact, I think that's one of the things that you just can't create on things like, what are some other ones? Like The Bachelor, like you're not trying to outwit anyone. Yeah. Or even in Big Brother, like I guess you're trying to outwit some people in Big Brother, but not to the same level as Survivor, where you're literally creating alliances and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Gotcha.
So yeah, that's the best goat.
Okay.
What's going on?
Like that. Okay. Any honorable mentions? We don't even have to talk about them. We can just like read them off.
I've got a ton. Survivor Man, Wipeout, The Amazing Race.
Okay. Yep.
MTV's Cribs, Pimp My Ride.
Oh, dude, Pimp My Ride was sick,
Pimp My Ride was dope.
Dude, I took Pimp My Ride and used that for all Need for Speed Underground too.
There you go, right? There you go. Put speakers where you don't need speakers, but it just looks cool. Dude, a little bit of extra neon.
I would always go into the garage as a kid. Like, I'd drive in there and I'd be like, and now it's time for Pimp My Ride.
And what, you'd come in and your exhibit? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Slams his car, throws a bunch of neon on it.
just do an absolute racer of a car. My honorable mentions, I'll just quickly reel them off. Judge Judy, that's nice. One. Hoarders and Fear Factor.
What about Storage Wars?
Oh, that was one of my honorable mentions.
What was the one on Spike TV?
Yep.
What was the one on Spike TV? And it was something to do with, it was very storage based as well. Like Auction Hunters, I think it was
called. Yeah, that might have been one of them.
Yeah. What's it called?
Oh, I don't know.
Those gold mining shows? Those are really good. Or like American Truckers or something like that. Those are actually really interesting.
I fucking hate the the searching for gold shows. Oh, those
they're so good, dude. They're so fun to watch. Okay.
There were actually a couple that I just kind of remembered. Deadliest Catch is fucking hectic.
Yeah. Somehow a genius show.
Yeah.
Dude, I thought Elijah was the worst driver. Yeah. Elijah was the worst driver.
America's worst driver.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, I'm like, how do you fucking get your license? Like, what did you do and what fucking happened?
Okay, wait. Let me know if we want to classify this as a reality TV show. Dirty Jobs.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching Dirty Jobs.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, I froze there for a second. What was it?
Dirty Jobs.
Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe. Is that his name?
Mike Rowe, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay, should we move on to Wotes?
Wait, well, fuck you. What about my own?
My bad.
Jesus. I had a good one that I didn't have on my list that I thought of. What do you guys?
That's Ledge's honorable mentions.
Oh, did I fucking lag again?
Yeah, you froze. Say it quickly.
Dog the Bounty Hunter. Sick.
That's a good one. Dog the Bounty Hunter is a really good one.
What else do I got? I got American Idol. That's on there. Nice. I got America's Best Dance Crew. Let's go.
Nice.
And then Holmes on Holmes.
I've never watched that.
My dad used to watch all the time, and I hated it back then. But now I'm looking back, and I was like, "That's kind of cool."
Do you think it's just fun because he's a roofer for him?
Yeah, I think he found it funny because my dad's one of those like typical construction guys where apparently everything everyone else does is wrong. Like he's driving down the road, he's like, "Yep, that guy did his roof wrong," and I'm like, "Yeah, okay, you're some fucking savant with the roof, dude. Relax."
He's
a roof connoisseur.
Yeah, but somehow him and Holmes were always on the same page. Like, he's the one other guy that could do it.
Okay, gotcha.
Why don't we move into Wotes here, Raph? You kick us off?
The first one, the show that I hated more than anything, but my mom loved, which was super annoying, John and Kate Plus Eight. Fuck that show. I felt so bad for John. Kate was the worst. Absolute nightmare.
Yeah, my mom and sister always fucking watch that show. Yeah. I'm like, why? I never watched it, so I can't really touch on it. But I remember like watching a couple episodes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, I felt so bad for those kids. I think the show even continued after they got a divorce, too, which was really weird.
Yeah, it was Kate Plus Eight.
Yeah.
Awkward. Sorry, John.
Yeah.
Was that the first big big family TV show they did?
I think so.
Oh, did they open?
What was the other one with the...
Fucking 19 Kids and Counting, the Duggars?
Yeah, the Duggars.
I think they came after the John and Kate. Although they were probably up to like 14 or 15 by the time John and Kate were around, but
it's
not a show yet.
Yeah.
All right. My first one, fucking Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And thank God, I'm pretty sure they're on the last season. So fuck you. I hate your show. Nobody fucking likes you. You're actually the worst people. You're just a bunch of trash bags that got basically famous because Rob Kardashian was the lawyer for fucking OJ, and then Kim K got fucking plowed in a porno, and that's basically all you did.
You're salty, Josh.
You contribute nothing to society. You are actually irrelevant. I do not like you.
Anyway. When we talk about if you honestly said like, hey man, what are three moves you would make to achieve like world peace or solve hunger? I'd be like,
I'd probably
put the Kardashians each on 30 grand a year, take away all their money and put them on 30 grand a year. And then they'll use their fucking platforms to just humble the shit out of everyone. They'll be like, you'll never guess what I had to eat for breakfast. I had to have a fucking apple and I had to cut it. Like, relax. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they get another TV deal.
Yeah.
But they'll never exceed $30,000 a year.
Imagine that, dude, having to work for more. Holy shit.
Wild.
Isn't that nuts? Right. My first one, before this one gets taken by anyone else, toddlers and tiaras, dude.
That was up there for me, too.
How is this a show, man? How is this, like, are we under, is the fucking, like, is United Nations not watching the States thinking, like, boy, guys, like, I know you want to make this television and this will sell, but we kind of got to stop it before we make a show out of it.
Yeah, fair.
Like, it should not be allowed, but whatever. Yeah.
There.
Love that. Sure. Okay.
My next one kind of follows suit with Elijah's. Okay, so I'm just going to kind of generalize this. Any kind of cooking show that is made into a competition. It's like the one that my family loves watching is like, it's called like Sugar Rush Kitchen or something like that. Yeah. And it's like where people just make a bunch of desserts. And it's just like if you don't make the best dessert within this kind of time window, it's like, you're fucking out. It's so annoying to watch and it sucks. And I feel so bad because there's so many like good, talented people there. And it's just, they get shit on because their food's not the best.
So anything on the Food Network.
Yeah, anything on the Food Network. Any kind of competition. Well, you don't need to make it into a competition.
Probably like half the things on the Food Network. Like they have like Iron Chef is a competition, but that's a good one, right?
Iron Chef's a fun one. Iron Chef I will watch, but like those other ones where it's just like so many different derivatives of Iron Chef, it's like, okay, like we need to relax and cut the shit, you know?
Yeah. Okay, my second one was originally Toddlers and Tiaras, but I will jump to number three. Say Yes to the Dress. Worst fucking show ever. It was a bitchy bride yelling at her poor mom or sister, crying like 8 times in like a 30-minute episode. I'm like, can you fucking chill? Like, I get it, it's a wedding dress, but like the way that you're acting all psycho, your husband's gonna be gone in 2 years. So tone it down.
Dial it back.
She'll be lucky if you last 2 weeks, dude.
Take a fucking deep breath. You can drop 100K on the dress, but like, Jesus fuck, like, let's just hang on a sec here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't do it. I watched it just for sheer entertainment value, but Jesus, it was annoying sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The amount of money people blow on wedding dresses, I'll never understand. Do you know how many cans of fucking of beefaroni you can get with a wedding dress?
Okay.
Are you kidding me? If they're on sale for 89 cents. You're fucked, dude. I could eat off that for my life.
Dude. fucking Elijah's pulling like the Martian where he's like fucking, what is it? Fucking rationing for like 165 days of beefaroni.
Okay, well, I just Googled it. The average fucking wedding dress costs $2,000, dude. I can get probably 1,900 cans of beefaroni. I could have beefaroni for what is that, like almost five years?
Somebody do that.
Five years. That's 5 years of beefaroni or one wedding dress.
why don't you say that to Megan when she's picking out her wedding dress?
That's not like I'll let her pick one, but that will be my argument from going like from 2,500 down to like 1,200. I'll be like, listen, you know what I can do with $1,300? Like stocks? I'll be like, yeah, fucking Chef Boyardee stocks.
Or on the West Coast Express. On the West Coast Express, Ben, just taking the Kings and Ducks and fucking Sharks by two.
Jesus,
I'm totally the guy that would put the wedding budget on a sports bet. That's totally me.
Megan, we can get two wedding dresses.
We can either get a wedding dress for free or not one at all.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. Next. Yeah.
Also kind of a general pick. Sorry if this cucks any of you guys, but the Real Housewives of anything or anywhere. Like all of them.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. They'll suck.
Yeah. I guess I can concede that sometimes that it is entertaining how out of touch these people are with reality. But it's the same thing as the other shows. It's just most of the time it gets fucking annoying.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Like that.
Yeah.
My last one, I don't know if you guys remember this show, but it was a meme for the longest time. And I think it still kind of is a meme every now and again. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. fuck that show, dude. That show's the worst.
Butter.
Yeah. Oh. Everybody made fun of it. The internet made fun of it. South Park made fun of it. Everybody just made fun of it. It was so bad and so cringy. And it's like, it Her gained so much traction for like a year and a half, I think it was.
Yeah. I remember it was like when we would have been in like grade 8 or something like
no, that. No, I don't think it was that old. It was much more recent.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, I think I was. I think I was graduated already when it came out.
Time to blow your mind, dude.
First episode was
15. She's 15 right now.
The first episode came out August 8th, 2012.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
So I would have been in 12th grade. So Josh would have been like, 10th grade. That's gnarly.
Nuts. Okay, my last one. Okay. So because I had to kind of think of a third one, I didn't want to use my honorable mention. I think it's called Floor Bama Shore.
Okay.
So it's basically like all these fucking like country hicks that live on like the border of like Florida and Alabama. And it's basically like Jersey Shore. Like they party in the truck, but like it's a lot more country, a lot more ratchet. Like it's not even like some of the girls on there, like they don't even know what the G in GTL is. Cause like they're
really,
they're not that attractive. So I don't know. It's just like, I've only watched like clips of it, but like I've went into like MTV cause that's where it's played. And I'm like, I can't fucking do this. I can't do it. It's so bad. But if you guys have any chances to like, just look up some YouTube clips for it, it's actually fucking cringy.
Okay. All right. I can do that.
All right. My last vote. That's the one. Then we'll do some honorable mentions. My last vote is going to be Sister Wives, because apparently I look like fucking what's his face, Cody. Everyone says I look like Cody, the guy with four pretty average wives. Like, not to be a dick, but kind of being a dick. I mean, this is just me. I think. What would you guys rather have be Cody and have four? I don't want to be. I'm not even going to be a dick anymore. I'm just going to say four normal looking humans or as wives, or would you rather be one of the four husbands of a smoke show?
I'd take the former in that.
I would also take the former. Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you want to fucking share?
Dude, what's like, wrong with sharing, dude?
The only time when I could share is if I was on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, I would say, and if I had a chance of actually being the only guy.
Yeah. So at the end, you'd want to show. But dude, Josh, you strike me as a guy that would be very rattled by fantasy suites.
Oh, 100%. I'd be
like, you'd be like, you're not fucking going in that room with him. I'll go kick the shit out of him. And then you realize he's like 6'6 and built. You're like, I won't go do that, but just don't sleep with him.
Yeah.
Elijah, think about it this way too. Imagine if you were one of the ugly, if you were the ugly husband.
Yeah. Like the funny, I'm not even mentioning.
None of us here are dime pieces. So I mean, like the odds of us being the ugly one are pretty high.
One thing I am confident in is I have the fastest swimmer. So I mean, if it comes down to a race of who's faster, I think I've got them there.
You're the fastest.
Yeah, doesn't matter if you can't get your swimmers in the pool though.
I've got my fastest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
I'm assuming I would get a shot, like maybe not the same ratio as the other guys, but I'm assuming I would at least get my shot.
No, you're stuck doing dry land.
Dude, it's OTPHJs?
Yeah.
Dang.
Tough luck.
That really sucks.
All right. Honorable mentions, anybody? I have a couple.
Jersey Shore.
Yeah, Jersey Shore's on there.
Yeah,
Breaking Amish.
Oh, you don't like the Amish?
No, Breaking Amish is just, it should have never happened.
Dude, I fucking died in that scene of Wolf of Wall Street, like when they're all at the dinner table, when they're just like setting out, Leonardo DiCaprio's introducing all of his characters, and he's like, one of the guys, like Robbie Feinberg, like the fat, white, like blonde-haired guy, he's like the Amish, he tells him, he thinks that they're wrapped in sheets, he's like, those are monks, like, what's wrong? When I talk about the Amish, my mind just
goes the Amish.
It's like they just build shit and do chores and they're happy. It's like Amish people don't give a shit about money.
That's funny.
I had 90 Day Fiance on mine.
That's up there.
And if it wasn't for No Neck Edit, they probably would have made it into my list.
No Neck Edit.
No Neck Edit was a saving grace in terms of the meme world. So thank you for that, No Neck Edit.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Any is that other it, boys? Honorable mentions, or is that it?
That's it.
I think that's it.
All right, boys.
That's what I got to say about that.
Episode 15
in the books. Why don't we give them a little outro like we've always been doing now, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? We're gonna go FIP on some drinks and use promo code FIPIN. DraftKings, guys. DraftKings. Please sign up for DraftKings. Use our promo code THPN. That helps us out big time.
Yep.
Helps us make it to the big city one day. And if you haven't already, rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends. Maybe be nice and tell one friend each shift about us. One colleague. Just go to somebody and be like, by the water cooler, be like, yo, what's up? You listen to Sick and Ring? And they'll be like, what? And you'll be like, life-changing stuff, man. Here you go. And you grab their phone, follow them for us, and boom.
And then we're going to go to DraftKings.com and sign up their email.
Yeah. There we go. We've got a full working. There we go. This, you guys might think this is a pyramid scheme, but we're just not paying you guys at all. You're just going to be you're going to be the grunts in all this. So keep it up. Promo code FIPIN. Bye. Oh, harder, baby.